In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. Today, contrary to the world all around us, we're still celebrating Christmas. The shops have taken down their Christmas decorations by the end of Christmas Eve, because in the world's eyes, Christmas is then over and finished with and done after Christmas Day. We won't mention the hot cross buns. But on this Sunday of the Christmas season, we remain with the Holy Family, we still sing carols, and we still choose to remember that this child, Jesus, is Emmanuel, God born for us. Today we get a little glimpse into the life of the Holy Family. Jesus is growing up. He's 12 years old. Do you remember being 12 years old? Maybe that was a long time ago, or maybe just a few years ago. And if you can't remember exactly, think about what it was like to be 12. In our culture, 12 is an in-between time, not completely fully grown, but still not a little kid anymore. Today, as we read about the young Jesus and about the boy Samuel, we realise that we shouldn't underestimate children and their capacity for faith. God sees and knows the heart. When Jesus was 12, he and his parents went to Jerusalem, as they did every year for the festival of the Passover. And Luke places this story of Jesus going with his parents to Jerusalem in between the dedication of the infant Jesus in the temple and Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan at the start of his ministry. And Luke is the only one who tells this story. He's the only gospel writer who includes anything at all about Jesus' childhood. And the young Jesus we find here is starting to become very aware of his vocation and his faith. Like lines on the doorframe marking a child's growth, Luke marks Jesus' life by scenes in the temple. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was dedicated in the temple. And it was then that old Simeon held him in his arms and said, "Lord, now let your servant go in peace, for my own eyes have seen your salvation." Between that day and age 12, we know nothing except that Jesus lived with his parents and their lives were marked by the rhythms and the rituals of Jewish life. So it was natural. It was even ordinary that the next scene brings us again to the temple where Jesus, to the shock of his worried parents, is busy in the temple questioning and learning. Some translations of this gospel story say that Jesus grew in wisdom and in years. That's what we read today. But I prefer the more ancient alternative, that he grew in wisdom and stature. You can grow older and not grow in spirit. There's no guarantee that advancing age brings spiritual maturity. To grow in stature encompasses our whole being and our life with God. It describes Jesus' growing willingness to claim his spiritual vocation and to live as God called him to, young as he was. This willingness had nothing at all to do with age or maturity. It's about the heart, and it's about the heart's openness to God. In the Old Testament story, we hear part of the story of Hannah and Samuel. Samuel was born as an answer to Hannah's desperate prayer, and yet Hannah gave him back to God, placing him in the care of the old priest Eli in the temple, only visiting once a year, something we probably can't even imagine. But despite this, we're told that Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favour with God and with the people. Even though he was young, like Jesus, he grew in wisdom and in stature. And when God called him, He listened and he answered. Youth is no barrier to a deep relationship with God or willingness to listen out for God's call. Age is no guarantee that we'll get it right or that we'll choose to listen or to follow. It's about the heart, and it's about our heart's openness to God at any point in our life. As we stand on the brink of another year, perhaps a good New Year resolution could be to concentrate on growing in wisdom and in stature. Not that New Year resolutions last for very long, but perhaps to commit ourselves to intentionally spending more time walking with God each day so that we begin to grow in wisdom and in stature. St. Paul writes to the Colossian church with some thoughts about what this might look like practically. But Paul's not actually writing to individuals here. He's writing to a community, the very kind of community that nurtured Jesus and Samuel in their faith. The Colossian church community was to grow in wisdom and in stature together, to consciously embody Christ in every season of life, both young and old. What are those practical things that Paul outlines? Communities growing in wisdom and stature are compassionate. The people share the sufferings of each other and they're consciously merciful, he writes. Rather than gossiping about people and tearing them down, they look for ways to build one another up and to forgive failings. They're humble. Status and hierarchy don't count in this community. Everyone's equal, and dependence on God and dependence on each other are central to faith. How does All Saints measure up against this standard that Paul sets out? In living this way, in this context, as we nurture and support one another, Christian community actively demonstrates the peace of Christ to the world. And it's right there that children and young people among us should be nurtured and grow in faith, a responsibility we have to take seriously. As we move into the new year, we think of Messy Church, the things that we do to nurture the faith of children. I remember as a child of about 12 myself, there were people other than my parents in the church I was at that talked to me about faith, encouraged me, who had an impact on my spiritual journey that they never would have realised. One thing that stands out for me in Paul's letter to Colossians is, as we stand on the brink of this new year, both individually and as a community together, one of the things that stands out is that Paul calls on the Colossians to be deliberately and consciously thankful. To be more thankful is a great New Year resolution. A Christian community that is growing in wisdom and in stature is constantly on the lookout for God at work among them. Thankful for green shoots of possibility and hope. You may not have heard of a man called Martin Rinkart. He was a German Lutheran pastor in the early 1600s. Martin ministered in a European walled, or what we call Europe today, walled town into which thousands of refugees poured during the 30 Years' War. Great armies crisscrossed the land, looting and pillaging, leaving ruin and desolation, and because crops were destroyed, starving people. Then the plague broke out in the town. 8,000 people died, including Martin's own wife. The two other ministers in the town died, leaving Martin to care for the thousands of people there alone. Sometimes reading the funeral service over 50 bodies at once, unimaginable. A year after the war ended, Martin himself died. Who can imagine living and working in such a situation? Or even holding on to faith in God when faced with so much grief, sickness, death, and loss? And yet in the midst of all this suffering, Martin penned the words of this famous hymn, a hymn I can hardly read without tears coming to my eyes. "Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way, with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." When you hear that story, you can never sing that hymn in the same light again. The thankfulness St. Paul encourages the community to take hold of has nothing to do with circumstances. Nothing could be worse than the circumstances Martin Rinkart faced. But just as during Advent we remembered that joy and peace are not feelings or emotions that just come and go, but a deep bass note in our lives, so thankfulness comes from hearts and lives that are growing in wisdom and in stature, ready to see the work of God in all things, open always to the life of faith. Just as we see Jesus and Samuel being nurtured in their temple communities, growing in wisdom and stature, open to God's voice and God's leading, so today we see that spiritual growth, the life of faith, has absolutely nothing to do with physical age or maturity. It's entirely about the heart. It's entirely about a heart that's open and tender to God and to all of the possibilities that God offers, and ready and willing to hear God's voice in our lives, both individually but also together as this community of God's people gathered in Ainslie, to hear God's voice as we move into this new year. The Lord be with you.